Hi, Sue. We're ready to go when you are.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the board meeting. Sean, do you want to go ahead with the roll call?
Member Burris?
Here.
Colonel Nall? Member Harmon?
Present.
Dr. Hamilton?
Here.
Member Yar?
Here.
Member Gallahorn?
Here.
Second Vice Chair Thompson?
Here.
First Vice Chair Hull?
Here.
Ms. Acting Chair, you have a quorum present.
Thank you. The next thing on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. If those who are online would mute their lines, and then those who are at the department say the Pledge of Allegiance, it might be a little less confusing. So would someone at the department start us off?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda is next. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Member Harmon. I move to approve today's
Member
agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Board Member Yar.
Thank you. Ms. Sipek, if you'd take the roll.
Member Burris?
Yes.
Colonel Nall? Member Harmon?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Member Yar?
Yes.
Member Gallahorn?
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Thompson?
Yes.
Ms. Acting Chair Hull?
Yes.
And Chair Fields? Ms. Acting Chair, the motion passes.
Thank you. The next thing on our agenda is disclosure of potential conflicts of interest. Is there anyone who needs to declare conflict? Okay. Hearing none, then we will go on to public comment. Is there any public comment for the board?
We have David Neese on the line.
Okay.
He's representing David, himself from Anchorage.
Okay. David, if you would state your name and address for the record, and then go ahead. You'll have 3 minutes.
Yeah, this is David Neese, 2542 Curlew Circle, Anchorage, Alaska. I'm testifying on the waivers. I sent a letter into the board, but I just wanted to reiterate it. We have a history, or the board has a history, for the last 10 years of granting almost every single waiver that is presented in front of it because of economic hardship, essentially. But one of the things that if you look at your packet is that one area that has never been told to districts to take a look at more seriously is their district administrative costs. And when David Teal was testifying to the House Sustainable Education Task Force, he says you have districts where the superintendent costs $5,000 per student. And so I looked at the first four, and I got numbers between $1,400 and $4,800 per student for district administrative costs. Now, if our districts were charter schools, their administrative costs by law would have to be held to 4%. And so you find yourself in the role of the parent that tells the child over and over and over, if you keep doing this, something is going to happen. Well, nothing has ever happened. they have never had it denied. So you will notice in your packet it gives you three options. One is to approve all the waivers, which is to continue doing what you have been doing for 10 years, which is I want you to get better at what you're doing, but there are no consequences. The other one is to look at the individual districts, and I would focus on the ones where the administrative costs are in excess of 5 or 10% in a district. And those districts probably need to take a look at the way they are running their central office and their administrative costs. You simply cannot afford to have districts where the cost of managing it is in excess of the BSA per student. So I would encourage the board to look at each of the districts individually rather than do a lump sum rubber stamp for the entire group. And maybe some of the districts need to be actively encouraged to take a look at their overhead. You do have to remember that in the case of the ADAC school district, the superintendent kept himself in office and took a year's salary when he had no students. And it took legal action to get that money back because that was not prohibited. So superintendents have a vested interest in maintaining themselves in the budget, regardless of what happens to the budget. They are a cost they look at as something that cannot be trimmed down. And we simply cannot keep going on this model. So please take the time to look at whether or not you want their behavior to change or you want to encourage those that have high administrative costs to come up with a different plan. I don't know what the consequences are of turning it down because it's never been turned down. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any further public testimony?
We have Patrick Mayer with the Ringgold School District, Superintendent.
Superintendent Mayer, if you want to go ahead. Are you speaking of your district?
Yes, this is Patrick Mayer, Superintendent of the Wrangell Public Schools, and I would just like to speak on the 70-30 for a few moments. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. So I just had a pretty long conversation with our business officer in the district, and I would just like to say that I am testifying against continuation of the 70-30, and here's a couple of reasons why. In any given year, we have a cost, say, for facilities operation for oil. Well, when oil is high, that's a problem for us, for example, with the 70-30. When oil is low, oil costs are low, then that makes it easier for us to justify 70-30 because of those low expenditures for heating fuel. On the other hand, here's another example. In a given year, we had seven people retire that were veteran teachers. So they were on the high end of the pay scale. The people that we replaced them with were on the low end of the pay scale. So you can see how that would throw out of balance the 70-30 proportions that we had used in previous years. So I just use those two examples in a very simplified way to demonstrate why it really is not a metric that works for districts because there are too many variables that you really don't have control over. And if you would just think about what I just said and take those into consideration as you're making your decision, it would be greatly appreciated. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony.
All right,
is there any
you.
Further public testimony?
We have no one else on the line and no one in the room.
Okay. Thank you. If there's no more public comment will be closed. And we will move to the agenda item. Commissioner, would you like to start us off?
Sure, thank you, Chair Hall. The board is being asked to consider the 24 school district requests for a waiver of the 70% minimum expenditure for instructional requirement, as you've heard the testimony to, for the fiscal year 2016 budget. The department works extensively with these school districts. to come to the point where they are able to do the best they can in regards to their budgets. And our facilities and finance team does a lot of that work with them. And I'm going to turn it over to Elizabeth Noodleman at this time to kind of walk you through the process of what takes place in regards to the 70-30.
Thank you. For the record, this is Elizabeth Noodleman, Director of School Finance and Facilities. I also have in the room with me today Elwin Blackwell, the School Finance Manager, and Mindy Lobaugh, our Public Education Foundation Formula Manager. So we're here today. Mr. Blackwell and Ms. Lobaugh did a significant amount of work over the last 3 to 5 months, reviewing the budgets, recalculating revenues, comparing expenditures to prior years, and preparing for you the packet that you have in front, and recommending passing these waivers for the school districts that have applied. With that, I want to walk through what you have at the beginning of your packet and give you an overview of the waiver process. So I'm going to start at the page that says Agenda Item 1 at the top, and it's dated October 26, 2015. And I just want to highlight a few of the bullets. Under background, the first bullet summarizes the law that's in statute at 1417.520. And this law directs that a district can apply for a waiver if their expenditures are under 70%. If that budget waiver is not granted, the district would need to draft a budget and expend 70% or remit the amount under 70% back to the state. And the second bullet item, reminds the board that we do review waivers twice a year, once for budgets and once for financial statements. The graph at the bottom of the page provides a visual of waivers that have been granted over the years. So those are some items that I wanted to highlight to you off the agenda item. Following the agenda item, there is a letter. Well, the first page is the statute. We simply put the statute in your packet so you would have that. The second item is 3 pages. It's a letter dated September 1st, 2015, along with an enclosure of page 1 of 2 and 2 of 2. And that's provided in your packet so you can see what the districts receive if their budgets are below 70%. Document in the overview is what we present, and it's our 6-pager. You can see page 1 of 6 on the bottom, and there are several things that I want to walk through with this 6-pager. We have 24 budget waiver requests this year. That's somewhat similar to what we have had for a very long time now. This was established with a report from 1996. The 70% was established as a statewide average. And what we have found over the years is that because it's a statewide average, not every district is going to hit on that 70%. There are two patterns that we've seen and that we've discussed with past boards. One is, when operations and maintenance costs get to 20% or higher, these districts generally are not going to have funds to meet the 70% in the instructional categories. High oil costs, some of those other operation and maintenance items that some of our districts see, like having to fly workers out to maintain fire extinguishers, those can get somewhat expensive in Alaska. So many of our districts, when their operations and maintenance costs get to be 20% or more of their budget, they apply for a waiver. And the department has recommended those districts for waivers, recognizing that those costs are beyond the control of the districts and an eligible metric in the law. This year, there are 18 districts that have operation and maintenance costs, or rather 12 that have operation and maintenance costs above 20%. The second category that we have talked about here at the department for quite some time is smaller district budgets of approximately $3 million. And in a smaller budget, we oftentimes find that because of an economy of scale, those districts are not able to meet the 70%. And the department has also recommended waivers be granted for those districts with small budgets who have investigated all of their expenditures, looked at the way they're spending money, placed as much money as they can in the classroom, but because of an economy of scale, they So those two categories we've talked about over the years. And again, this year we have 12 districts applying for a waiver with operation and maintenance above 20%. We have 8 districts with small $3 million range budgets applying for waivers. And then we have 6 districts that, although they didn't fall concretely into one or other of the categories, they have many of those attributes, and they have explained their reasons and causes in their letters. And the department also recommends, after reviewing where these districts expended their funds, the effort and work they put into putting funds into the classroom, that those waivers be granted. That's an overview of really what page 1 and 2 of 6 present to you. And I'm going to skip to page 5 of 6 in that overview packet. And 5 of 6 is a graphic representation of what I just stated. For example, you can see that the first district on the list, Alaska Gateway, there is an X in the Category 1 box because Alaska Gateway has operation and maintenance costs above 20%. None of these districts received our recommendation simply because they had an X in a box. The school finance staff spent several months running revenues, examining expenditures, calling the districts, talking to the business managers, and talking to the superintendents, and looking for best practices and evaluating the reasons and causes that put these budgets below 70%. So you can see the remainder of page 5 of 6 lays out the reasons and causes that the districts have provided and that they have further explained in their letters beneath the individual district tabs. The page 6 of 6, which is also in our overview, we included this because when you talk about minimum expenditure for instruction of 70%, you can see in the far right-hand column, the calculation for that comes from expenditures that are placed into the accounting categories 100 to 400 for instruction and 450 to 780 for community service. And the school districts, the department, the superintendents, the goal is to put instructional funds into the classroom, and that's the law that we follow. What I do want to say is the categories 450 to 780 can't be simply eliminated. For example, category 550, district administration support.
That category is our accounting office, our payroll, our annual audit, and our liability insurance. So although it's not directly coded to instruction, we need liability insurance. So I just didn't want to forget to mention what goes in each of those categories. The final piece I'll back up, and your pages 3 of 6 and 4 of 6 are the operating fund minimum expenditure for instruction summary. And that provides from 2006 to current, so it captures the last 10 years. It provides where districts have been for their percentage on budget and audit. You can see on the second page, it totals how many districts are below 60 and how many districts are in the other categories. This law has been in place for 18 years. And we did see the expenditures and instructions rise over the first 8 to 10 years of this law. But the chart shows that we've plateaued. The districts have followed the law. They're putting money in instruction. And having to pay for heat and liability insurance, they also need to apply for waivers. And I just want to reiterate that Elwin is here if you have specific questions, as is Mindy. And before these waivers were completed and sent to you and recommended for approval, the underlying worksheets and questions and answers were completed by the department. I think that wraps up our introduction for you.
Commissioner, do you have anything to add?
No, thank you, Chair Hall. I don't. I wanted Elizabeth to walk through the process and let the board know the work that's done both on the part of the department, but especially on the part of our school districts. There have been times when we haven't had the same recommendation, actually, to approve all of the waivers. We've actually had some time where we've asked for more information and haven't given waivers in all cases, but you'll see in this case the work that they've done shows at least a recommended motion of approving these waivers. So I think I'll just turn it over to you in case there are questions around specific waiver requests, anything else in regards to the process.
Okay. To the other board members, are there any questions of the administration before we consider? As you'll see, there are options for the motion. So do you have any questions prior to the motion that you'd like to ask? This would be the time.
Chairman Hall, this is Member Harmon. May I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this would be to Director Noodleman. I appreciate all the detail that went into this. I think it's wonderful. I guess, and this is just a general high-level question because you folks really analyzed this. You have a lot of great information. I know Mr. Neese expressed a concern. I guess my question, and it's a high-level one, is did you or your team notice any glaring red flags of potential financial mismanagement, not in what came out with the waiver recommendation, but in any areas of these budgets that we should be aware of?
For the record, Elizabeth Noodleman and Chair, no, we did not identify any financial issues that we would want to make the board aware of, that we should make the board aware of. In the years that we work with these districts and in the time that we spend on the phone with the superintendents and the business managers, we do ask a lot of questions, and if something comes up and we want to know more about it, we do inquire. But succinct to your specific question, no.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, hearing none, are we ready for a motion? If so, would someone make it?
is Barbara. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development approve the district waiver request for 70% minimum expenditure for instruction requirements for fiscal year 2016 for the following school districts: Alaska Gateway, Bristol Bay Borough, Chatham, Copper River, Hoonah City, Heidelberg City, Iditarod Area, Cake City, Kashunamut, Klawock City, Lake and Peninsula, Heidelberg City, Heidelberg City, Iditarod Area, Cake City, Kashunamut, Klawock City, Lake and Peninsula, Nome, North Slope Borough, Northwest Arctic Borough, Pelican City, Pribilof, St. Mary's, Skagway, Southeast Island, Tanana City, Wrangell, Yakutat, Yukon Flats, and Yupik.
Barbara, are you still there?
Yes. Sue, are you there?
I think we're talking.
Sue, did you hear her? She finished the motion.
Barbara, are you there?
Sue, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can other board members hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. So it sounds like it just Chair Hull blocked out there for a second. So we'll see if she can. We're texting to see if we can get her back on.
While we're waiting, I do have a question. In the past, haven't we gone into executive session to approve some of these or to discuss them? I remember doing that at least once with Shishmaref.
Hello.
Bye. I'm looking at my staff, and I don't believe we've ever gone into executive session for these. For personnel issues, we would go into executive session, but these are all public dollars, public school districts, and these have all been in a public meeting.
That's interesting, because I remember going into executive session in Juneau about, I thought it was one of these waivers, but I don't know why we would be discussing Shishmaref personnel.
No, I'm not sure. Sue, are you back on?
I am back on. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened, but partway through Barbara's motion, it went dead. So I presume there was a second and someone stepped in my absence.
Well, no, there was no second. I did finish the motion, but we are waiting for a second.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second, Kenny Gellhorn.
Thanks, Kenny. Okay. Is there discussion of the motion?
Chairman Hull, this is Member Harmon. May I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Member Harmon, and I really want to say I appreciate this packet that was put together. I've been operating a small private school. We do not receive any state funds, and I can tell you running a small school takes a lot of time, a lot of work, and it's tough on a budget. I know our instructional costs are only 61%. And I can tell you heat and liability are very expensive for a small school. And I really appreciate Mr. Neese's comments, but I also can tell you that our administrative costs are over 10%. And that's just part of economy of scale when you're working with a smaller school. So, you know, I looked at all of these myself, and that's why I asked the question if the department, if there was any red flags they saw behind the scenes. But I thought all the budgets looked very good, and I know I'm going to vote yes in support of this motion.
Thank you. Is there other discussion? Anyone? Okay.
Well, Kathleen, I do have a concern, I guess.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
I can't guess the motivation for Mr. Neese's testimony, but I mean, looking at the paperwork, it seems like it's all there, but I do realize that he has some concerns. So it's just disturbing to me, I guess.
Thank you, Member Yar. Is there additional discussion? Commissioner, if there is an Elma, I'd like to ask a question. Could you describe a little bit more about when there were concerns on the part of the department and what you've seen over the years in terms of, you know, whether or not this has been helpful to people? And I know there's been some discussion, you might comment about this, there's been some discussion about the work that goes in preparation of the documents, et cetera. And, you know, if you could just comment a little bit about what you've seen over the years and what you see as the usefulness going forward.
Sure, I can do that at a high level. This is Commissioner Hanley. For the most part, waivers, after the work they've done with our department, it's recommended that waivers are granted, and they traditionally are, to the point where years ago, when I came on board, there was actually a standing resolution from the board that they supported the removal of the 70-30 requirement. There was only one case a few years ago that I recall that there were actually three districts that there was concern that maybe some of the budgetary spending wasn't beyond control of the school district. And the board asked for additional information. In two of the cases, they felt comfortable with the additional information, and the waiver was granted. In the one case, it was just difficult for the board to really understand how this was beyond the scope or the purview of the school district. And that waiver wasn't granted, and instead there was support provided to that district to work with the management team to help work on their budget. So that's kind of an overall history. It was challenging at the time for the board to consider that because they had a resolution out that in general that they didn't that they were supportive of removing the requirement. But that's the only case I can think of where a waiver wasn't granted.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do any other board members have any comments before the vote?
Chairman Hall, this is Member Harmon, if I may.
Go ahead.
Yeah, again, this is Member Harmon. And I think, you know, and I really, similar to Member Yar, I do appreciate Mr. Neese's comments. You know, I do think there are ways, big picture ways, and I know, you know, that the state will be exploring these to have, look at education and maybe maximize efficiencies, you know, across districts or other options. But, you know, looking at this purely from the individual budget perspective, and again, having experience operating a small school myself that has a lot of these same challenges, you know, I didn't see anything that was, you know, exceptionally out of the ordinary to make sure that the school is getting what it needs to operate effectively and efficiently. I know administration sometimes can be expensive, but if you don't have somebody leading an organization, you don't have the results that you need. So I guess those are just a couple additional comments I wanted to add.
Anyone else have a comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll just go on record. I'll be supporting this motion. But I would like to say I think we should take a second look at this and whether or not the 70-30 waiver is necessary at a future meeting. We don't need to do that today. But it is a lot of work for the district. I 100% support the intent of the law, that what we want to do is have as many dollars as possible flow into instruction, because that's the whole point of the system. I'm just not sure that this law really facilitates that more. In fact, it requires a considerable amount of administrative attention and filling out the paperwork, working with the department, et cetera. And as we've seen over time, I'm not sure that there's been a significant impact on the percentages within the district. So I guess I would just say I think that this is something we should take a look at in the future, but I'll be supporting the motion that's on the floor. Is there any further comment? Okay, hearing none, Ms. Sitek, would you Call the roll.
Member Burris?
Yes.
Colonel Nall? Member Harmon?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Member Yar?
Yes.
Member Gallahorn?
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Thompson?
Yes.
Chair Hull?
Yes.
And Chair Field? Ms. Acting Chair, the motion passes.
Thank you. I should mention, and I should have mentioned this at the start, that Chair Fields, sorry, my mind had a blank. Chair Fields is out of the state and unable to be here, and he asked me to conduct. I really appreciate all of your support and cooperation. Is there any further business to come before us or any further comment from board members or the administration?
Chair Hull, this is Commissioner Hanley. There's no further business before the board today, and based on the retreat we had in Sitka, we do anticipate having a conversation around the 70-30 at a future meeting. I think tentatively we're looking at something around in December.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. One last call for board comments before we close up. Thank you all for your participation today and that I thought the meeting might go longer than this, but we were quite efficient. Any parting comments?
Chairperson Hull, this is Member Harmon.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, Member Harmon speaking here. I just want to, again, commend the department on the materials they put together today. I also want to commend the department. I think we've all been following sort of the implementation or the rollout of the AMP, and I think they've worked very hard and tirelessly, and just want to thank them for their efforts and express my appreciation to all those folks that have put a lot of time and effort into that project.
Thank you, Member Harmon, for that. I think all of us feel the same way. I certainly do. Thank you to all of the people in the department. This process did not go the way any of us would have liked. But, I'm grateful for the efforts that were put forward on our behalf, and I think that the commissioner and all of those involved did the best that they could under very difficult circumstances. So thank you so much for doing that, and I'm sure we'll be considering those issues in the future at some point. But thank you for everything that you've done to this point. If there are no further comments then, could I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I do. I second it.
Okay. Let's say Mr. Gallahorn and then Ms. Yara is the second. Is there any objection to the adjournment? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day. Thank you, guys. Good
job. Talk to you in December.